Welcome to our deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at social entrepreneurship in Europe.
Okay.
Specifically, how young people are using it to tackle some local issues.
Right.
Our source material today is this training module called SUSE Sustainable Young Entrepreneurs.
Interesting.
Which aims to equip young Europeans with the tools to launch their own social businesses.
Makes sense.
So think, you know, guides and case studies. And even a really cool tool called the Social Business Model Canvas.
Sounds useful.
We're going to unpack what makes social entrepreneurship tick.
Okay.
How it differs from traditional business and why it's gaining so much traction in Europe.
Well, it's really fascinating to see how this program connects young entrepreneurs with tackling real-world challenges.
Right.
The SUSE program specifically focuses on economic inequalities, environmental challenges, and social inclusion.
Gotcha.
I mean, imagine, you know, launching a venture that not only generates income, but also tackles youth unemployment by offering job training in green technologies. That's the kind of impact SUSE promotes.
So it's not just about starting any business.
Right.
Yeah. It's about aligning your passion for a cause with your entrepreneurial spirit.
Exactly.
You could be passionate about, you know, environmental sustainability and start an eco-friendly fashion line.
Right.
Or maybe you're concerned about food insecurity and launch a social enterprise that delivers, you know, affordable organic produce to underserved communities.
Yeah.
The possibilities are really endless.
And the SUSE module, Introduction to SDGs, really helps young entrepreneurs connect their businesses with the UN's Sustainable Development Goals,
okay,
giving them a global framework for how to make a difference.
So a broader perspective.
Yes. And there are also more in-depth modules like environmental degradation in business and gender equality in business that provide, you know, practical guidings on these specific topics.
Okay, let's dive into this social business model canvas.
Okay.
From what I've read, it's like the star of the show.
Absolutely. Think of it as like a visual blueprint for your social impact dream.
Okay.
It's a template that breaks down all the key elements of your business.
Yeah.
But it's designed to be interactive and collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about filling in boxes. It's about prompting you to think critically about your target audience,
right,
your value proposition, your resources, and even how you'll measure your impact.
What I find particularly cool about it is that it has sections dedicated to defining your social mission.
Exact.
And identifying your beneficiaries.
Yes.
It's like this constant reminder that this venture goes beyond profit.
You're right.
It's about solving a social problem.
Exactly. Let's say you want to tackle food waste, right?
Okay.
Using the canvas, you'd outline your social impact mission, which could be to reduce food waste in your city by 20% within the next 5 years.
Right.
You'd then identify your beneficiaries, which might include low-income families,
okay,
food banks, and even restaurants.
Interesting. I can already see how this visual tool makes complex ideas much clearer.
Yes.
And it helps you connect the dots between your vision and your business strategy.
It helps you stay focused on the why behind your venture.
Yep.
Speaking of which, the SUSE materials showcase an inspiring example from Greece.
Okay.
The Mirtillo Cafe in Athens.
Oh, yes. The cafe that employs people with disabilities.
That's the one.
That's a fantastic illustration of how social entrepreneurship plays out in the real world.
They've integrated their social mission into every aspect of their business model.
Okay.
For instance, they secured a rent-free location from the municipality.
Well,
which significantly reduces their operating costs.
That's huge.
They also offer catering services to generate additional income.
Smart.
And have collaborated with renowned chefs to design their menu.
So they're not just providing jobs.
Right.
They're creating a high-quality experience for their customers.
Exactly.
That's a clever way to combine social good with sound business practices.
Absolutely.
It makes you wonder, how do social businesses navigate the world of pricing when they're trying to balance financial sustainability with your social mission?
That's a critical question.
Yeah.
And often a real challenge.
Right.
One of the biggest hurdles is figuring out how to price products or services so they're both financially viable for the business and accessible to the beneficiaries.
Right. You don't want to undermine your mission by pricing people out.
Exactly.
But you also need to keep the lights on.
You need to be sustainable.
Right. So how does the SUSE program guide young entrepreneurs through this balancing act?
Well, the SUSE module dives into specific pricing strategies that can be especially effective for social businesses.
Okay.
They highlight two approaches.
Okay.
The cost plus model.
Okay.
And a five-step pricing strategy.
Could you break those down a bit?
Sure.
For those of us who aren't business whizzes, what exactly do those entail?
So the cost plus model is fairly straightforward.
Okay.
You calculate the total cost of producing your product or service,
uh-huh.
then add a markup to determine your selling price.
Okay.
The markup covers your operating expenses and allows for a small profit margin to reinvest in the business. Now, this approach may need adjusting to ensure affordability for your beneficiaries.
I see. So you might have a standard markup for your regular customers.
Right.
In a smaller markup, or even offer subsidies for your beneficiaries who may be on a tighter budget.
Exactly. The SUS module also presents a five-step pricing strategy that takes a more holistic approach.
Okay.
This method encourages you to, one, define your pricing goals, considering both financial and social objectives.
Uh-huh.
Two, thoroughly understand your target audience, their needs, and willingness to pay.
Okay.
Three, research your competitors' pricing strategies.
Gotcha.
Four, select your pricing model, whether it's cost plus value-based or a combination.
Okay.
And five, test your pricing strategy and be willing to adjust based on real-world feedback.
It sounds like the five-step strategy is less about a rigid formula
yeah.
and more about a flexible process that allows you to fine-tune your pricing based on your specific circumstances and target audience.
You've got it. And one thing that really stood out to me from the SCOC materials is the emphasis on understanding your beneficiary's economic capacity when setting prices.
Right.
It's a crucial piece of the puzzle that often gets overlooked in traditional businesses.
It makes sense if your mission is to provide affordable housing for low-income families, your pricing strategy needs to reflect that.
Right.
You can't charge market rates and expect to fulfill your social mission.
It all comes back to that core principle of social entrepreneurship,
uh-huh.
ensuring that your business model is truly aligned with your social mission.
Okay, so we've got a good grasp of the basics.
Right.
And even dipped our toes into pricing strategies.
Yes.
Now, how about we zoom out a bit and talk about the bigger picture of maximizing social impact?
Okay.
The SUSE program emphasizes strategic planning. What does that look like for a budding social entrepreneur?
It's about having a clear roadmap for how you'll translate your vision for social change into a concrete business plan.
So you're saying it's about marrying that passion for a cause with a savvy business sense.
You
need to be able to envision the change you want to create and then figure out how to make it happen using the principles of business.
Exactly. And that's where tools like the Social Business Model Canvas come in handy.
Yeah.
They help you break down your vision into manageable steps, identify your resources, and map out your path to impact.
Now, the SUC program also talks about this idea of a holistic approach to social entrepreneurship.
Right.
What exactly does that mean?
It means integrating your social impact goals into every facet of your business.
Like what?
From product development and marketing to hiring practices and supply chain management.
So it's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Exactly. Can you give us an example? How would a social enterprise demonstrate a holistic approach in action?
Sure. Let's say you're starting a sustainable clothing line.
Okay.
A holistic approach would involve sourcing eco-friendly materials.
Right.
Minimizing waste during production.
Uh-huh.
Ensuring fair wages and ethical working conditions for your employees.
Yeah.
And even partnering with organizations that promote environmental education or textile recycling.
So it's about embedding your values into every decision you make.
Yeah.
Ensuring that your business is a force for good at every level of its operation.
And let's not forget the importance of transparency and ethical practices.
Absolutely.
Those are crucial for building trust with your beneficiaries, your partners, and the wider community.
Transparency is key for accountability and ensuring that your social impact claims are legitimate.
Right.
Ethical practices are the foundation of any sustainable and impactful social venture.
This has been incredibly insightful.
Glad to hear it.
We've laid a solid foundation and even peeked into real-world examples and practical strategies.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm curious, can social enterprises truly be profitable?
Mm.
It's not just about warm, fuzzy feelings, is it?
That's a great question. And the answer is a resounding yes.
Okay.
Social enterprises can be profitable. Yeah. And in fact, they need to be profitable to be sustainable and have a lasting impact.
It's like putting your own oxygen mask on first before assisting others.
Exactly.
You need to be financially healthy to effectively create social good. So how does a social enterprise go about achieving this balance of profitability and impact?
That's exactly what we'll delve into in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh, exciting.
We'll explore specific revenue models, financing strategies, and look at how social enterprises can generate profit while staying true to their mission.
That's fascinating. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll unpack the financial side of social entrepreneurship and see how these businesses can thrive while making a difference.
Welcome back to our deep dive into social entrepreneurship in Europe.
We left off on a bit of a cliffhanger.
We did.
We've established that social enterprises need to be profitable.
Right.
To create a lasting impact.
Yes.
So let's dig into how they actually make money while staying true to their social missions.
The SUS module delves into this,
yeah.
highighting various revenue models and financing strategies.
Okay.
One interesting approach is collaborating with government initiatives to secure funding.
Uh-huh.
This can provide a stable revenue stream, especially for social enterprises, tackling issues aligned with public policy.
That makes sense if you're addressing something like youth unemployment or environmental sustainability.
Exactly.
Partnering with government agencies could provide both financial support and credibility.
And think about offering premium services to those who can afford them.
Okay.
This can generate additional income to subsidize services for those in need.
Right.
Ensuring accessibility for everyone.
So everyone benefits.
For example, a social enterprise providing language classes could offer premium one-on-one tutoring at a higher price,
uh-huh.
allowing them to offer group classes at a discounted rate for refugees or low-income individuals.
That's a smart way to leverage different pricing tiers to balance financial sustainability with social impact.
Right.
It reminds me of something else mentioned in the SUS materials.
Okay.
Promoting eco-friendly tourism and charging a premium for those experiences.
That's another excellent example. By tapping into the growing demand for sustainable travel, social enterprises can promote responsible tourism practices.
Mm-hmm.
While generating revenue, imagine a social enterprise offering guided tours of local communities.
Okay.
With a portion of the proceeds going towards supporting community development projects.
So it's about finding that sweet spot where you're meeting a market demand.
Us.
Offering a unique and valuable experience.
Right.
And channeling those profits back into your social mission.
And it doesn't stop there.
Oh.
The SUSE module encourages young entrepreneurs to think outside the box when it comes to revenue generation.
Okay.
They suggest exploring partnerships with other social enterprises to expand their reach and share resources.
Interesting.
They even touch upon community investment models where local residents can invest in the venture.
Okay.
Fostering a sense of ownership and shared success.
I love that idea. It not only brings in capital, but it also strengthens the bond between the social enterprise and the community it serves. It almost feels like a return to a more localized, community-driven economy.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's about creating a win-win situation where everyone benefits.
Right.
And let's not forget the power of fundraising events.
Oh, yeah.
These can be a great way to raise awareness about your mission, engage the community, and generate excitement around your cause.
It's almost like a celebration of the impact you're creating, bringing people together and reminding them why this work matters.
Exactly.
It seems like the possibilities for revenue generation are as diverse as the social issues themselves.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of social entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
It encourages creativity and innovation, pushing us to think beyond traditional business models and find solutions that benefit both the bottom line and the greater good.
Speaking of challenges, we've talked about the need for profitability.
Right.
But what are some of the other hurdles young social entrepreneurs might face?
That's an excellent point to bring up. Starting any business is tough. But social enterprises often encounter unique hurdles, balancing the dual mission of achieving social impact.
Yeah.
And financial sustainability is a constant juggling act.
I imagine it can also be tricky to measure social impact in a meaningful way.
Yes.
How do you quantify something like improved community well-being or increased environmental awareness?
You're right. It's definitely not as straightforward as tracking profits.
Right.
But there are tools and frameworks available
okay.
to help social entrepreneurs define their impact metrics
uh-huh.
and track their progress. The SUE module, for instance, includes a section on impact assessment.
So it's about setting clear goals from the outset,
yeah.
identifying the key indicators of success,
right.
and then finding ways to measure those indicators. I suppose it requires a bit of creativity
yes.
and a willingness to embrace a more holistic view of success.
Precisely. And don't underestimate the potential for burnout. Passion is essential for any entrepreneur.
Right.
But when you're tackling complex social issues,
yeah.
it can be emotionally draining.
I can see that you're pouring your heart and soul into creating positive change.
Right.
And it's easy to get caught up in the urgency and the enormity of the challenges you're facing. That's why self-care
mm-hmm.
and building a strong support network are crucial, right?
Absolutely. It's not a solo mission. Surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals who can offer guidance, encouragement, and a healthy dose of perspective can make all the difference. The SUSE program emphasizes this.
Okay.
By encouraging participants to connect with mentors and build a community of fellow social entrepreneurs.
It's like that saying, it takes a village.
Exactly.
And in this case, it takes a village of passionate, driven individuals to create lasting social change. All right. We've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive.
We have.
It's inspiring to see how these social enterprises are not only surviving, but thriving.
Yes.
While tackling some of the world's most pressing challenges.
It is.
But before we move on, I'd love to circle back to the Murtillo Cafe example.
Okay.
What can other aspiring social entrepreneurs learn from their success?
Murtillo Cafe is a testament to the power of strategic thinking.
Yeah.
Community engagement.
Okay.
They've cleverly woven their social mission into every aspect of their business model.
Right.
From securing a rent-free location from the municipality to collaborating with renowned chefs to elevate their menu.
Right.
They've also shown that providing opportunities for marginalized groups can be both socially impactful and commercially viable.
And they haven't been afraid to get creative with their revenue streams, offering catering services and leveraging their unique story to attract customers who are eager to support businesses that are doing good.
Absolutely.
It really highlights the importance of thinking outside the traditional business box.
Right.
And finding innovative ways to generate income while staying true to your mission.
Exactly. And their success also underscores the importance of building strong relationships with your local community. Murtillo Cafe has clearly gained the support and trust of the people they serve, which has undoubtedly contributed to their sustainability.
It's a reminder that social entrepreneurship is about more than just transactions.
Yes.
It's about building authentic connections and fostering a sense of shared purpose. Now we've explored how social enterprises can generate revenue and overcome challenges.
We have.
But I'm curious, what are some of the broader trends shaping the future of social entrepreneurship in Europe?
That's a fantastic question and one that the SUS program addresses directly.
Okay.
They highlight the growing awareness of social and environmental issues among young people.
Okay.
Coupled with a desire for more purpose-driven careers.
Mm-hmm.
This is fueling the rise of social entrepreneurship, particularly in sectors like sustainable fashion,
right,
renewable energy, and ethical food production.
It seems like there's a shift in consciousness happening, especially among younger generations.
Yes.
They're not just looking for a job.
Right.
They're looking for a way to make a difference. And they're realizing that they can do that through entrepreneurship.
You've got it. And this shift is being supported by various initiatives across Europe. Governments are offering grants and funding opportunities for social enterprises.
Okay.
Universities are incorporating social entrepreneurship into their curriculums.
Interesting.
And incubators and accelerators are popping up specifically to support social ventures.
So there's a growing ecosystem developing, providing aspiring social entrepreneurs with the resources and guidance they need to succeed.
Exactly.
This feels incredibly hopeful.
It is.
It suggests that we're moving towards a future where business can be a force for good, driving positive change on a global scale.
Absolutely. And I think this is only the beginning.
Yeah.
As more and more young people embrace the power of social entrepreneurship, we can expect to see even more innovative and impactful solutions to the world's most pressing challenges.
I can't wait to see what the future holds.
Me neither.
But before we get ahead of ourselves,
right,
I think it's time to move on to the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We've discussed revenue models, challenges, and even broader trends.
We have.
But there's one more crucial aspect we need to address.
Okay.
The profit potential of social enterprises. We often hear this misconception that social businesses are destined to be small scale, struggling to make ends meet.
Yeah.
But is that really the case?
That's a great question and the perfect segue into our final segment.
Okay.
Stay tuned for part three, where we'll debunk that myth and explore the true profit potential of social enterprises. We'll examine how these businesses can generate sustainable profits while maximizing their impact.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised by what we uncover.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into social entrepreneurship in Europe. We talked about this misconception that social businesses are destined to be, you know, small scale, barely scraping by.
Right.
So let's debunk that myth, shall we, and explore the real profit potential of social enterprises.
Yeah. I mean, a healthy surplus is essential for any social enterprise that wants to have a, you know, significant and lasting impact.
Okay.
You know, it allows for reinvestment expansion and ultimately creating more social good.
So it's about more than just breaking even.
Exactly. It's not about maximizing profit for profit's sake.
Okay.
But using it as a tool to fuel your mission.
So how do social entrepreneurs actually strike that balance?
The SUSC materials had some, you know, intriguing examples.
Yeah, what were some of the things that stood out to you?
One was collaborating with government initiatives to secure funding.
Okay.
This can provide a really steady revenue stream, especially when you're tackling issues that are aligned with public policy.
Makes sense.
Like, imagine a social enterprise that's focused on renewable energy.
Okay.
Partnering with a government agency that's promoting green initiatives.
Right.
Could be a win-win.
Like combining forces to amplify that impact.
Exactly. And another thing they mentioned was this idea of, you know, offering premium services alongside those more accessible options.
Okay.
So, for instance, a social enterprise that provides mental health services
Okay. Could
offer, you know, specialized workshops or individual therapy sessions at a higher price.
Okay.
Which would then allow them to offer group sessions or support groups.
Right.
At a reduced cost or even free of charge to those who...
Yeah, who couldn't otherwise afford it.
Exactly.
So there's a balance there.
It's like a built-in system to ensure that their services reach those who need them most.
Right.
Regardless of their ability to pay.
And it seems like those eco-friendly tourism examples that we talked about earlier.
Yes.
Also have some real profit potential there.
Absolutely. Let's say there's a social enterprise that creates a, you know, sustainable farm-to-table experience offering tours, cooking classes, and meals featuring locally sourced organic produce.
Yeah.
They could charge a premium for that.
Right.
Appealing to tourists who are seeking unique and ethical experiences.
I like how all these examples really showcase, you know, the variety of approaches here.
Yeah.
But the SESE materials encourage going even further, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. They encourage thinking beyond traditional models.
Okay. In what way?
Well, they suggested, you know, partnerships with other social enterprises
Okay. To
share resources and expand their reach.
Makes sense.
Which would lead to, you know, cost savings and new revenue streams.
Right. Like, imagine a fair trade coffee company.
Okay.
Partnering with a social enterprise that provides job training to marginalized youth.
Yeah.
They could collaborate on a new product line or distribution channel.
Right.
So it benefits both businesses and their social missions.
Exactly. Those kinds of collaborations are so inspiring.
I know.
They really embody the spirit of social entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Working together to create positive change.
And there was one more interesting idea. About community investment models.
Oh, yes, where local residents can actually invest in the venture.
Right.
Almost like a cooperative.
Right, so they're not just customers, they're actually stakeholders.
Exactly. It not only injects capital, but it also fosters, you know, community ownership and engagement.
Right. Like, imagine a community-owned grocery store.
Okay.
In a food desert.
Yeah.
Providing access to fresh, healthy food.
Uh-huh.
While generating income for those investors.
Right.
And creating local jobs.
It's like a return to a more localized, community-driven economy.
I like that.
It taps into the power of collective action.
And of course, we can't forget fundraising events.
Yes, the classic but still effective way to raise awareness,
yeah,
generate income, and build community around your mission.
It's incredible to see, you know, the creativity and diversity in these revenue generating strategies.
Yeah.
It really challenges the notion that social enterprises are limited in their profit potential.
Absolutely. And I think the key takeaway here is that profit in the context of social entrepreneurship is not a dirty word.
Right. It has a purpose.
It's a vital tool for achieving sustainable impact.
It's about using profit to fuel your mission to amplify that social good. So as we wrap up this deep dive into social entrepreneurship in Europe, what are the most crucial things you hope our listener takes away from this conversation?
Well, I hope they see that social entrepreneurship is not just a trend, but that it's a powerful force for positive change.
Yes.
And the SUSE program, with this wealth of resources and real-world examples, you know, demonstrates that it's possible to create a successful business that's both profitable and purpose-driven.
So it's about merging passion with practical skills.
Absolutely.
And innovative thinking with a deep commitment to social good.
And it's a journey that anyone can embark on.
Right. So whether you're a seasoned business professional
or
a young person with a burning desire to make a difference, there's a place for you in the world of social entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
And who knows, maybe this deep dive has sparked an idea.
Right.
Or inspired you to see the world through a slightly different lens.
I hope so.
Maybe there's a social issue you're deeply passionate about.
Yeah.
And you've been searching for a way to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps you have a business idea that could address a need in your community.
Right.
Whatever your situation. We hope this deep dive has empowered you to explore those possibilities and to see the potential for positive change.
Every social enterprise starts with a spark.
Yeah.
A belief that a better world is possible.
Absolutely.
And each of us has the power to ignite that spark and create those ripples of positive impact.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks for having me.